Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about Oral Roberts and the rest of the upsets that occurred in the first round of the tournament. It was a record-setting most upsets ever in the first two rounds of the tournament. Of course, I didn't guess any of the upsets right at my bracket, but still, history was made. Brackets were destroyed. People in tears, Vegas earning money, but we keep moving. We got the Sweet 16 coming up this weekend. A lot of good slash gross matchups, so we're going to go over those. And we also are going to talk about the NBA. The Chicago Bulls just made a huge trade for their franchise, probably like the biggest trade they've made in the trade deadline in recent years. So will that be enough for them to push themselves securely into the playoffs? We'll discuss that. Let's get after it. So I want to hop in right into March Madness. So as you guys know, me and the boys took on Vegas last weekend. Had an unbelievable trip. Very ecstatic to be home. 3 days in Vegas is plenty. I'd say it's a perfect... If you're looking to make a trip to Vegas, I'd say three is that prime number. No more, no less. You know, you get there, you do what you have to do. You have a good time. But then by the time, you know, Sunday rolls around, you are thrilled to be getting on that plane to go home. It's just one of those, you know, experiences where you're not getting a lot of sleep. You know, you're losing, well, I guess you're gaining 2 hours, but you're losing 2 hours technically. You know, you're all sleep deprived. You know, drinks are flowing, bets are flowing. So lots going on. Overall, great trip. And we got to experience the most upsets ever in tournament history. Now, does that mean that I made money off those upsets? Not really. Besides Ohio. Ohio was that one team, you know, that 13 seed taking on Virginia at the four, who just, you know, with being in COVID for, you know, a week straight, you know, not being able to practice because of quarantine, you know, I think a majority of bettors actually had Ohio winning that game. So I don't even know if that's an upset, but technically, according to the bracket, it is. But if you guys can look at my title, Oral Roberts, that was the backbreaker right there. That started everything. You know, me and a lot of other people had Ohio State going to the Final Four. I mean, they look great in the Big Ten tournament. You know, I wasn't sold on them after losing a lot of games in a row. But then they, you know, they beat Michigan. They barely used the U of I. But Oral Roberts, you know, came to play wherever they came from. You know, I saw that they beat, like, North Dakota State in the finals of their conference. And so I was like, all right, Oral Roberts, no chance. And of course, they're still dancing. They won not one, but two rounds in the tournament. The first 15 seed to advance to the Sweet 16 since Florida Gulf Coast. The only 15 seeds ever to do that. So caps off to Oral Roberts. I mean, unbelievable game. You know, Dwayne Washington bringing everybody's hearts, every bettor's heart, I should say, wide open three to tie it. Couldn't do it. And that was just the start of many things to come. Next up, you know, I thought Colgate, you know, that was my huge upset, the 14 seed taking Arkansas, had a 13-point lead in the first half, couldn't get it done. Arkansas ended up blowing them out and ended up being Texas Tech the next round as well, so Arkansas is still dancing. My big thing from my last podcast was the SEC is overrated. I was wrong. SEC is not overrated. They're legit. Alabama cruising to the Sweet 16 along with Arkansas. Florida losing to Oral Roberts in the second round should have been advancing as well. So SEC definitely not frauds this year. But the other upset that really just blows my mind, Abilene Christian. I don't even know who Abilene Christian is. 14 seed. Taking on Texas at the 3 seed. Texas also in my Final Four, along with everybody else, I guess. So when I made my Final Four, I didn't realize everybody else had almost the exact same Final Four as me. And that's when I knew right then that we were all screwed. You can't have the same Final Four as everybody else. It was accidental, but it's what happens. Texas coming all the way back, hitting a three to go up by one with 10 seconds left, but Abilene Christian getting fouled
1 second left with a 56% free throw shooter. Makes them both. Texas, hook them. Adios. That one hurt. You know, I was right actually in on the floor at Caesars Palace watching the game with a billion other Texas bettors out there. And it was a heartbreak. Everyone was going nuts for Texas. When Elbline Christian won, of course, there was like two fans there for Elbline or two guys that bet on them that were like happy. Everybody else just walked away. But, you know, I give credit to their defense was solid. I think with the story that was Texas was overrated. You know, they didn't have a solid offense. You know, they're used to that Big 12 grinded out style, and they just couldn't get it done. You know, Elbline did just enough to win the game. They ended up getting blown out the second round at UCLA, the 11th seed. So the 11th seeds this year, you got Syracuse winning two rounds pretty easily. And then you also have UCLA winning the play-in game against Michigan State, coming all the way back, winning two more rounds, taking out BYU and Elbline Christian. So you got some 11 seeds. It's the story of the higher seeds this year. I'm loving the higher seeds now. You know, it's one of those years where you're like, damn, like, I think, you know, COVID, no fans. And you got teams just, you know, I don't know if the bracket did the best job placing teams. I mean, you have Loyola Chicago. That's the next upset. Loyola Chicago, 8 seed, destroying U of I in the second round. I mean, I wake up on Sunday. We're all trying to leave for Vegas. We turn on the game. It's like, wow, Loyola up by 10. And they were up by 10 the whole game. It wasn't even close, really. You know, they had a plan. They executed it. U of I didn't seem that, like they had the same energy as Loyola. And Loyola was playing with house money. Nothing to lose. But it was almost like they expected to win the game. They weren't fazed by the one seed. So U of I, the one seed that's not making it out of this year's tournament. There's always that one seed that doesn't make it out. And it was U of I this year, unfortunately. Everybody having U of I in the championship. I haven't even looked at my bracket. I mean, what's the point? I think I'm in like the 10th percentile. If you listen to my bracket breakdown last week, I'm sorry. I hope you faded me. But at the same time, you should have faded everybody's bracket because I don't know really anybody that's sitting there being like, oh, I have just the best bracket ever. I'm sure there is that one asshole, but I sure as hell don't want to talk to him. The highlight for me this weekend was Gonzaga. Gonzaga, I do have as my champion. They're my team. Everybody in the first round taking Norfolk State plus 33.5. Gonzaga winning by about 50, showing that, okay, Gonzaga is for real. They end up covering against Oklahoma on Sunday as well, who was, they're 14.5, or on Monday, I should say, 14.5 point favorites versus a good Oklahoma team. Austin Reeves put up 30. Gonzaga still able to get it done. They're the real deal. And they're taking out a Creighton team that they should be able to roll past to as well. I'm not trying to jinx Gonzaga. Creighton, good team, but I'm not fazed by Creighton. Gonzaga looking like, you know, they're playing their best basketball right now. I expect Gonzaga to make a push to the championship this year. More notable upset teams that I really like. Oregon State as a 12 seed, demolishing Tennessee. I knew Tennessee was frauds from the start. I tried to tell everybody that was my one great upset pick was Oregon State. Easy win against Tennessee. But they don't stop there. They go out and take out Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State in the second round. Win by 10. Cade Cunningham, a projected number one overall pick in next year's NBA draft. And Oregon State, I mean, they win in the Pac-12. They roll right in. I don't think I've watched one Oregon State basketball game all season. So that's the crazy thing about basketball is all of a sudden then you have these teams that just kind of start playing out of their ass in the tournament. I mean, they have nothing to lose, and they're just playing with house money.
So I want to dive into the Sweet 16 matchups occurring this weekend. Pretty good slate. As I said before, kind of a random, gross slate on the first day. But, you know, it is what it is. It's college basketball. You take what you get. And we're hopping right into Sister Jean and Loyola taking on Oregon State on Saturday. That's the first matchup of the Sweet 16 games. Loyola, 7-point favorites. I like Loyola in this game. I think Oregon State's had a great run, a great story, but Loyola looking like they're primed for another Final Four run. I like Loyola in this game. I think they roll over Oregon State. Villanova-Baylor. This is a game where Baylor should dominate, but it's Villanova. You know, they have the name, they have the coach. You know, they're playing without their best player in Gillespie, but, you know, they're playing for him, so they have that spark, and they've looked good the first two rounds. You know, they beat Winthrop that first round, and you're like, okay, like, everyone thought Winthrop might win that game versus Nova, and then, you know, Nova got a cakewalk in the second round, you know, playing an upset team, so, in North Texas, that's another team I forgot to mention, North Texas was an upset over Purdue. Purdue's trash, Purdue's trades, frauds, whatever you want to call them. So Villanova with a, you know, very easy second game, in my opinion, against North Texas. So haven't really been challenged yet. I like Baylor, though. I think Baylor also should dominate this game. But I think it'll be close to start. I don't think they're going to, you know, just pull away right away. But Baylor for sure in this game. I like Baylor. They've been playing good ball. Oral Roberts, Arkansas. Arkansas, 11-point favorites. I like Arkansas in this game. I don't really see Oral Roberts making it to the Elite Eight. I'm pulling for him, though. I think that would be awesome. I think everybody's rooting for Oral Roberts just to see how far a 15 seed can go. But Arkansas playing really good ball. I see Arkansas covering in this game. And then the last game of the night, Syracuse, Houston. This is a game to watch, ladies and gentlemen. Syracuse at the 11 seed, plus 200, 6-point underdogs. I'm taking Syracuse in this game for my one upset team. Houston looking good, but also looking shady against Rutgers. They had to really battle back against a Rutgers team that's good, but, you know, not the best team I've ever seen. So Syracuse with Buddy Boeheim, going to shoot him out of this one. I take Syracuse in a close game in this matchup. On Sunday, we have Creighton and Gonzaga as the first game. Like I said before, Gonzaga, big favorites in this game. I see Gonzaga rolling versus Creighton. I don't see Creighton having the manpower and the bodies to, you know, size up against Gonzaga. I like Zags in this one. Zags all day. Florida State, Michigan. This might be the game of the Sweet 16 matches. This might be the best game. Florida State, Michigan. Michigan 2.5-point favorites. This is a tough one. I don't know if I can give. I really want to say Florida State. I literally only have Gonzaga and Florida State left in my Elite Eight teams. So I'm going to stick with Florida State. You know, fuck Michigan. I'm not a Michigan fan. I want to see Florida State win. Going to be a tough game, though. Michigan struggling against LSU early, but being able to come out on top against them at the end. Michigan's a tough team to beat. I don't know if Florida State will have the shooting to do it, but I like them. I think if their defense is solid, Florida State definitely has a chance in winning this game. UCLA, Alabama. Another enticing matchup here. UCLA playing their best ball, obviously, all season. Alabama as well. I really want to take UCLA in this, but I think Bama's going to get it done. I don't know if UCLA has, you know, enough offense to take off Alabama. But UCLA's been scoring at will, so I think it's going to be a really close game. It's tough for me to pick. And who knows? I mean, I picked almost every game wrong in the bracket, so what do I know? But I think Alabama will get it done. And then Oregon-USC. This is also going to be an awesome. Pac-12 has been, they're 8-1 this year in the tournament. It's kind of absurd. No one even talked about the Pac-12. Everyone was, you know, talking about the Big Ten, you know, Big 12. Big Ten, storyline, frauds. Besides Michigan, Big Ten is just really, you know, they were highlighted all year. It's just the way it goes. They're highlighted all year. And of course, they just suck in the tournament. It's the way it goes. I don't understand basketball sometimes, but it's all about the Pac-12 this year. I'm taking USC in this. USC looking really good in the tournament with Mobley, you know, second overall projected draft pick in the upcoming NBA draft. I'm rolling with USC. Oregon looked amazing versus Iowa. They could miss, so I think they're going to cool down a little bit. And this is going to be a Pac-12 battle. This is like a Pac-12. This is the real Pac-12 championship that everybody was looking for. I'm taking USC in this matchup. So I want to hop into the NBA here, talk some Chicago Bulls. The trade deadline was today. Lots of stuff happening around the league. But the Bulls taking over the spotlight of the trade deadline, sending Wendell Carter, Otto Porter, and two future first-round picks for Nikola Vucevic. Vucevic, welcome to the squad. This is a brush of a fresh air, as you would say. The Bulls losing by 10 to the Cavaliers last night to a Cavs team without Colin Sexton. I mean, worst loss of the season by far. The Bulls looked terrible. They looked unmotivated. And you're like, wow, like, is this the season? But no, we send Wendell's bum ass, Otto Porter's bum ass to Orlando. Feels great. You know, I have a Wendell jersey. I've tried to back him up for as long as I could, but he's trash. Otto Porter, trash. Not part of the league's future. It's a shame that, especially for Wendell, they just couldn't step it up, you know, the way that the Bulls needed him to. You know, he did not have an inside presence for that team. Granted, you know, I think he's more of a 4 than a 5, but he can't shoot very well. And, you know, I came with the Bulls. I did not see this coming. I did not know the Bulls were trying to get Vucevic, and this is a game changer. This is a guy that can play in the pick and roll offense with LaVine. LaVine, a gratified superstar in the league now, needs a big boy and that can, you know, can stretch the floor. He can get boards. He can dominate down low. And the Bulls have not had a center like this in the last decade. So this is huge for the Bulls. The Bulls have always been soft in the paint. This will help change that. And now you have a guy like Thaddeus Young who's having a career season this year. You put him with Vucevic. You have LaVine. Markkanen's still there. The Bulls are trying to trade Markkanen to the Pelicans for Lonzo. So if the Bulls would somehow land Lonzo in the next couple hours, that would be huge to, you know, get that backcourt in order. Maybe trade Kobe White out of there. I mean, the Bulls are basically saying, okay, this team, this roster, the way it's orchestrated right now, is not going to get it done. But with a trade like Vucevic, maybe get Lonzo, this changes things. So this is like the biggest move the front office has made, the new front office, I should say, since they've got here. So great step in the right direction. You know, the Bulls still hanging on to that 10 seed right now. So I don't know if you guys have known this, but the playoff system is different this year. The first 6 seeds make it, and the 7 through 10 seeds have a play-in tournament. So the Bulls currently in right now at the 10 seed. I think the Bulls are going to make that, but we'd love to see the Bulls maybe move up to the 6 seed, maybe the 5 seed, you know, to avoid that first-round play-in game. But regardless, the Bulls not done yet. This move definitely saved their season. I said last night, I was like, I don't think I watch the Bulls anymore after this loss. I just don't see, you know, where the scoring's going to come from. You know, the defense was terrible. You know, most turnovers in the league. Hopefully this will help. I love the move. The Bulls got Vucevic. The Bulls have life once again. Let's go, Bulls.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
Riddle's rant of the week. Well, you know, wasn't a lot to rant about. I had a good weekend. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what can I rant about today? Well, and then it came to me easy. Eloy Jimenez and the Chicago White Sox out 5 to 6 months after hurting his shoulder in the outfield, running up against the fence again. I mean, how many times does he have to do it? He's a circus act in the outfield. He should only be a batting DH. And it's just not the thing as a White Sox fan you want to hear going into opening day. You know, best roster I've seen ever as a White Sox fan. And we're still going to be good. I'm not saying the season is a wash. Far from that. But it's going to be a grind now. You know, we're going to have to fill that 4-hole. And it puts a lot of pressure on our middle of the lineup hitters. You know, we need everybody to produce. But we're going to have to make some changes. That's for sure. And it just puts a little extra pressure, you know. So, of course, you know, Cubs fans got what they wanted. A White Sox star hurt. But, hey, you know what? We rally. We fucking rally. White Sox are here. They're not going anywhere. It's a big blow. But you know what? We know what we're getting ourselves into. And honestly, I'd rather have it now than have it happen a week into the season. Sox know what they have to do. Let's get after it. Come on, White Sox.
G4 Spotlight of the Week.
My G4 Spotlight of the Week. Definitely the Chicago Bulls making moves. I know we already talked about it, but I want to reiterate the fact that the Bulls are back. The Bulls, right now, they need to make a change. They did it by getting Nikola Vucevic. This gives us promise for our front office that they're actually, you know, looking to do what's best for the team. They're not out for themselves. I love this move. Bulls are back. I'm not saying we're going to the finals, but the Bulls are going to be relevant. They're going to be competitive. Let's go, Bulls. I love this fucking move. Let's get Lonzo. My flick of the week this week, I'm tending to a classic, a Fat Jonah Hill classic, Accepted. I just watched this the other day. It's on Hulu. It never gets old. I swear to God, I've watched it my whole life. I've always just gone on and on about it. Ask me about my winner. I mean, he can say that every single time and I will die laughing. Unbelievable film. If you don't know about Accepted, it's kind of sad. I shouldn't have to go through the plot, but Justin Long, not able to get into college, decides to make his own fake college, leases out this one abandoned like hospital building, South Harmon Institute of Technology. Of course, the actual Harmon Institute of Technology finds out about it. They try to get him off campus. Will it succeed? You don't know. You don't have to watch the film. A classic with, you know, beautiful Blake Lively in there just running around. You're like, oh, I could watch Blake Lively for days. You can't. Justin Long making moves with her. I mean, come on now. It does not get better than that. Watch accepted. It'll make you feel better about your bracket. Ask me about my winner. My bet of the week this week. I'm taking it to the NCAA March Madness tournament, the Sweet 16 on Saturday, and we're going to go for a parlay. We got Loyola of Chicago against Oregon State. We're taking Loyola. That's number one. We're taking Baylor against Villanova. That's the second game. And then we got the kicker here. This is the kicker. This one's going to make you the big money. Syracuse against Houston. They're plus 200 money line. Don't know if they're still going to be plus 200 by the time of the tournament. I feel like it might, you know, start trending down or up in that case. So it might be, you know, plus 170, plus 180. But those three right there, $45 to win 200. You can't beat that value. That's what we're going with. A parlay of Sister Jean and Loyola, Baylor Bears, Syracuse Orange, Buddy Boeheim, bang, lock it in. Big money weekend, baby. That's all the time we had today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's a weird March Madness schedule this weekend. Games don't start till Saturday. Usually it starts today. But we ride. You know, going to be a great weekend of hoops. Sit down, watch the madness. Lots of upsets in the brewing. This is the time to do it. You know, only a couple weekends left in March Madness, the best time of the year. Don't miss out on it. Grab a beer, grab some friends, grab some ladies, have a good time. Let's go March Madness. It was a pleasure doing business with all of you. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Riddle Daddy out.